As I said, the text is, which I just read, is almost an impossible text for any of us, and I believe that that's the whole point of it. Peace and mercy to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. My theme is simply faith. So in the text, God tells Abraham to kill his only son. So here's the strange part. Evidently, Abraham was willing to go through with it. Somehow this is a picture of faith? Question mark. But if this is what faith is, do we really want any part of it? So let's try, or I'll try to answer that question tonight. To me, this is a terrifying story because I know that I would not be able to do that. I have a son, and there is not a chance in the world that I would do that. 100% of the time, I would fail that test. I have a feeling most of you might too. There is, however, some consolation in this, in that everything turned out okay in the end. God didn't really make Abraham go through with it. Instead, he provided a ram for the sacrifice, which makes us think forward, of course, to the sacrifice of Christ, the sacrifice where God really did offer up his son. But how could he even, at any time or under any conditions, ask Abraham to do something like that in the first place? The question becomes even more pointed and more agonizing when you realize that this is not just any example of faith in the Bible. It is the example of faith in the Bible. Paul stresses the point in Romans 4:3, where God promises Abraham that his descendants will be as numerous as the stars in the sky. From that reading, from that text, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. You see, Abraham believed God's promise. And in that belief, God considered Abraham's faith to be righteousness. By believing God, Abraham received full saving faith. So following Paul's lead, fast forward to St. Paul, Lutherans call this justification. I'm sure you're well aware of justification. But just to kind of clarify a little bit going forward here, I'd like to put a quick definition in. The action of declaring or making righteous in the sight of God. That's tough. There isn't anybody but that one person that I know that could complete that task. And we hold that we are justified by the work of that one person alone. The fact that Abraham did offer his son is then cited as proof of the faith that James talks about in his epistle, and also the writer of Hebrews goes on quite a bit about that. So as hard as we try, and I did, we cannot get around this text. We have to go through it. The incident is at the very heart of Lutheran teaching of understanding of salvation, of sin, and of redemption. And to make matters worse, God is just not asking Abraham to kill his son, but to kill the one through whom all nations would be blessed. And because of that, the order to sacrifice Isaac had potential catastrophic consequences for the whole world. God's test not only contradicts Abraham's own affection, his fatherly love for his son, but it also contradicts God's own promise to Abraham. You see, Jesus was going to be born from Isaac's line. So God is telling Abraham, wipe out all hope for humanity. So in the face of all this, how does Abraham react? How would you react? What does he feel? The astonishing thing about this text is it doesn't tell us. Abraham is silent. He just does what he's told. He does what God tells him to do. He doesn't tell Sarah what he's planning. He certainly doesn't tell Isaac what he's about to do. He doesn't tell the two servants his plans. He says nothing at all to anybody about what's going on. How does he feel about destroying his family, destroying his marriage, destroying the one hope for the human race? Not a word. Crickets. So as human beings, and we're all human beings in this room tonight, and we all are expert at emotions because we all have them, let's put that expertise to work. I offer three feasible scenarios that Abraham may be going through. Perhaps Abraham, because of that command, hates God for putting him through this. Why would God mock him by giving him this promise and then taking it away like that? Perhaps he wanted to do, what he wanted to do was tell God, no, you can't have my son, take me instead. And by offering himself as the sacrifice, it might show what a monstrous command God had made. But whatever bitterness that may have been in his heart, it didn't deter him. The promise turned out to be stronger than his bitterness. Perhaps Abraham was filled with resignation. Perhaps he thought he would go through with it and then return to Sarah a broken man. Once he had done this, he would resign himself to living the rest of his days in abject grief and sorrow for what he had done. But the promise turned out to be stronger than his despair. Perhaps anxiety. Perhaps he was filled with anxiety. What will happen to him afterward? Will he be branded a murderer and expelled from all communal life? How could his wife still live with him after what he had done? How could he live with himself? But the promise turned out to be stronger than the guilt and the fear. So no matter what the painful emotions he experienced, whether those or others that we can't even imagine, the book of Hebrews tells us that Abraham was willing to go through it because he considered that God was even able to raise him from the dead. From Hebrews 11:19. God had promised him numerous descendants through Isaac. Abraham, again, believed that promise, and that even though God himself seemed to be taking it away, that the promise was stronger than Abraham's bitterness, his resignation, his despair, and even stronger than his anxiety. Can we all agree that the story of Abraham and Isaac exemplifies our struggle with the law of God? The Ten Commandments are orders from God. How are we as his beloved people doing with those? How many of us are trusting enough in God's providential care that we would potentially give up what is dearest to us? And whatever that dearest thing is on this earth, is our own personal Isaac. The theme of our Lenten series this season is called Honest Repentance. Repentance consists of two things: being sorry for what you've done, contrition, and belief that God does and will forgive you. Honest repentance. In honest repentance, we are restored to God's favor by his atoning promises, that is, of his Son, his life, his ministry, his death, and his resurrection. So here we are today, and we have those promises. Here are a few. The promise in baptism is, you are my child, I am well pleased with you. Another promise is found at the Lord's Supper. This is my body and my blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. More generally, in God's general message of the gospel, he says, I am your God, and you are my people. Your sins will not break our relationship or put your salvation at risk. I thought a simple definition of salvation might be appropriate at this time. Deliverance from sin and its consequences. This is salvation, believed by Christians to be brought about by faith. Sola fides. In Christ. But how? I mean, the question is posed. What happened specifically? What has God done? Well, what God had done is he had provided a substitute, his own son, his only son, the son whom he loved, Jesus Christ. Like the ram caught in the thicket, like a lamb led to slaughter, Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is our substitute. He is your substitute. It is you and I who should be nailed to the cross, rightfully. It is you and I who should be dying there, rightfully. It is you and I who should be receiving God's righteous wrath. But instead, it is the Lamb of God who takes the punishment on the accumulated sin of mankind from the beginning of time, from the garden to this very moment, and then into the future whenever Jesus comes again. It is Jesus who is bound by nails to the wood, bound even more so by his love for his Father, and his love for you. Jesus, the Lamb of God, dies in our place. The Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. So yes, Mount Calvary, the Lord has provided the answer to your greatest need in the sacrifice of his Son. God provided you with forgiveness of your sins. He has provided you with life in place of death, the life of Christ, who will rise from the dead. He will be victorious over the grave, and we will live forever. The Lord will provide. God has provided you with the assurance of his love, knowing that if he has provided for you in his greatest, our greatest need, he will surely also be there for you in every need, every day, giving you the strength and the faith you need to carry you through all these trials and these difficulties and these struggles that this world produces for us. He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? And to conclude, dear friends, our God keeps his promises. Our bitterness, our anxiety, our despair cannot diminish or alter it in any way. Even when it doesn't look like it, and all evidence points otherwise, and even when it seems impossible, God will be faithful to his word. His promise to you is that he will give you everything you need to be and to remain his child, to see you through to the end. And at that time, we will receive the fulfillment of all the great blessings he has promised us. The Lord will provide. The promise of that is in his word, each new day, every day, and on to eternal life. Amen. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Midweek Lenten Sermon from Faith Lutheran Church in Moorpark, California. For more information, visit us on the web at faithmoorpark.com.